Your divine intervention is here. Welcome to Divine Interventions Podcast with Clay and Shonda Stone. You see, your breakthrough is here today. Your breakthrough is here today. Come on, lift your hands and sing it. Believe it, believe it. Well, this is our first session in our podcast healing school. I'm Clay Stubbs. This is Divine Intervention. And we are just going to get right into the first session tonight. You know, some Christians who need healing have said many times, maybe God put this sickness on me for some purpose. You know, the question is, did Jesus ever put sickness on anyone? When people came to him for healing, did he ever turn any one person away saying, no, it's not my will, just suffer a little longer? You're just not pious enough. No, not once. And the scripture tells us that to see God, we look at Jesus himself. And even Jesus himself said in John 14, 9 and 10, have I, speaking of Jesus, been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then showest the Father? Verse 10, believe thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. So if you want to know what God looks like, look at Jesus. If you want to see God at work, look at Jesus. Do you want to know the will of God? Then look at Jesus. Jesus is the will of God in action. John 6:38. So did Jesus go about making people sick? No, he went about doing good and healing. One of my all-time favorite scriptures of all is in Acts 10:38. Acts 10:38 declares and says these words, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So from the natural standpoint, it's difficult for people to understand that most of the laws governing the earth today came into being through the fall of man when Adam sinned and the curse came upon the earth. Because people don't understand this, they accuse God of accidents, they accuse God of sickness, they accuse God of the death of loved ones. And God is not the author of any of these things. You know, people blame God for storms, catastrophes, earthquakes, floods, all kinds of events in life. You know, surely God's able to do anything that he wants. And, you know, even insurance policies call these acts of God. You know, I can't just explain away, you know, they're all acts of God at all. Because if you begin to study the scripture, you begin to, you know, bear in mind that Jesus said in John 14:9, he that has seen me has seen the Father. Well, we don't see Jesus bringing any storms on people. We see him calming the storms. A storm had arisen. You remember in the Word of God, a storm arises on the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus was in the back of the ship asleep on a pillow. The disciples awoke him and said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? They thought they were going down at sea. Literally, Jesus arose and rebuked the wind. You know, the Word of God never says he was rebuking something that God did necessarily. He was rebuking something, I believe, that the devil himself had stirred up. You see, Adam was originally the God, so to speak, of this world. God made the world and the fullness thereof, we know according to Psalm 89:11. And then he made man, Adam, and he said to Adam, I give you the authority to rule this earth. You are the one who dominates. But Adam sold us all out to the devil. He didn't have the moral right to do it, but he had the legal right because the earth was his. God put it in his hands. Adam committed high treason, sold us out to the devil, and the Bible tells us that now Satan is the god of this world, according to 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. When did Satan become the god of this world? after Adam sinned. Now we need to get some things straight in our minds, because many of the church world especially are confused. People have all kinds of unscriptural ideas, and some think, well, God's got everything under control. How many times have you heard people say, well, God's got it under control. I guess if he wants us healed, we'll be healed. He wants me delivered, he'll just bring it to me. He's under control. You know, and I made this statement even recently. You know, I believe in the sovereignty of God, and we'll get into that study later on in one of our sessions. But you know, when the sovereignty of God becomes an excuse for lack in your life, something's wrong. And you know, it bothers me. It disturbs me to see so many people dying of disease and sickness in our churches, and we've excused them under the authority of the means of saying, well, it must have been God's will. We just, you know, he's got everything under control. Now, you know, not necessarily, because if you mean that God is ruling the earth right now, he isn't. Now, he's going to rule again one day, but he's not right now. During the Korean conflict, there was an article by a well-known newspaper columnist. He said, in effect, I don't claim to be a Christian, but I'm not an atheist, nor am I an agnostic. The atheist says there is no God. The agnostic says there may be a God. You know, he doesn't know. So he goes on to say, I don't believe everything just happened into being, he continued. I believe some supreme being created everything. But what hinders me from being a Christian is when I hear preachers saying, I'm confused, because he says they say God is running everything. And if he is, he sure has things in a mess. Then the man alluded to wars, children being killed, poverty, disease, sickness, saying, I believe that there is a supreme being somewhere and that everything he made was beautiful and good. I just can't believe those things are the work of God. Well, the truth is, sir, and the truth is today, ma'am, those things came with the fall when Adam sinned and Satan became the god of this world. And now Satan is finally, you know, when Satan is really eliminated from the earth, finally, there will be nothing that will hurt or destroy. And then it ought to be obvious where all those things came from. Jesus' statement, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father, and his description of the Father make it impossible to accept the teaching that sickness and disease are from God. The very nature of God refutes all ideas supported by this, for God is love, and love is God. Let's go back to Acts 10:38 for a moment. Who anointed Jesus of Nazareth? God did. Jesus said, the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. John 14:10. How did God do these works of healing through Jesus? By anointing him with the Holy Spirit and with healing power. What did Jesus do with the anointing with which God had anointed him with? He went about doing good. What was the good that he did? Healing, deliverance. So God was healing when Jesus healed, because it was God who anointed him. Amen. Praise God. God is in the healing business. Get that in your spirit. Get it in your mind. God is not in the sickness business. God is in the delivering business, not in the bondage business. Praise God. You know, Jesus healed all. Notice in Acts 10:38, who was healed by Jesus? All. All that were oppressed of the devil. Now that's a plain statement. All. A-L-L. That means everyone who was healed under the ministry of Jesus was oppressed of the devil. In other words, the devil had something to do with their sickness. That doesn't mean an evil spirit was always present. It just means that the devil was behind the whole situation. They were oppressed of the devil, every one of them. Yet to hear some people talk nowadays, even ministers, you would think would be led to believe that God and the devil had swapped jobs for the last 2,000 years. You'd think God was putting sickness on people and the devil was healing them. No, absolutely not. The devil is the same devil he's always been. There's never been a loser longer than Satan. Hallelujah. So God is still the same God. Now I want you to read this with me in your study time. Mark 16, verse 15, 17, and 18. The Word of God declares in Mark 16, verse 15, "And he, speaking of Jesus, said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Verse 17, And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. Verse 18, They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Let's stop and analyze this in our session tonight. Which one of the sick did Jesus say to lay hands on? He just said the sick, period. Well, if God were the author of sickness, if he did put sickness and disease on people, and if it were his will for some to be sick, then this statement would be confusing to all of us, because Jesus authorized us to lay hands on all the sick and said they would recover. If it were God's will for some to remain sick, Jesus would have had to have said something like this: "Lay your hands on those whom it is the will of God to be healed, and they shall recover. And those whom it isn't God's will to heal, they won't recover." But that wasn't the case, not at all. God set the church against sickness, period. You know, James 5, 14, 15, "Is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he had committed sins, they shall be forgiven him." Now verse 14 asks, "Is any sick among you?" Among whom is the question. Is any sick among you? Who is he talking about? Among who? The church. Amen? So it must be God's will to heal any of the sick in the church. Therefore, it can't be the will of God for any in the church to stay sick. One brother used to ask, one individual said, "Well, you've forgotten, Clay, that the Bible said if we suffer with him, we'll reign with him." No, I haven't forgotten. Let's look at that verse in 2 Timothy 2, verse 12. "If we suffer, we shall also reign with him." What are we going to suffer? He never described that we would suffer pneumonia, cancer, tuberculosis, and every type of disease and sickness. No. What did Jesus suffer? He suffered persecution. And you will too if you live right. You'll suffer persecution if you preach divine healing, brother. I'm telling you right now, if you preach the gifts of the Spirit, if you preach faith, I myself have suffered persecution for preaching the Word in these areas. Another person once asked another question. Why in the book of Hebrews it says, "Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth," or "he chastens," Hebrews 12, verse 6. Well, it's still there. It's not forgotten, but it does not say whom the Lord loveth he makes sick. You see, people have just put their own interpretation on that verse. The word chasten in the Greek means to child train or to educate. Now, you train your children, don't you? Exactly. You know, you send them to school to be educated, but you have never, ever told a teacher, "If my child doesn't do right, knock his eye out." Or have you ever said, "If he's disobedient, break his leg or give him cancer"? Absolutely not. If you treated your children that way, I can promise you someone will be knocking at your door, including authorities. So that's not the way you discipline or train a child, and that's not the way God wants to train his children. You know, when you talk about Job's problems, God doesn't use sickness and disease to teach his children lessons. And, you know, somebody said, well, what about God making Job sick? No, he didn't. The devil did. Yes, but God gave the devil permission. Well, that's true, but God didn't commission it. You see, God will permit you if you walk down the road and rob a gas station. He'll permit it, but he won't commission you to do it. There's a difference. The Bible is plain about why sickness, or why I believe sickness, came upon Job. Job actually said, "The thing which I greatly feared has come upon me, and that which I was afraid of has come unto me." Job 3, verse 25. So he himself opened the door to the devil by using allowing the spirit of fear to operate in his life. You know, Bible scholars agree that the entire book of Job took place in 9 to 18 months. And in chapter 42, you can read about the works of God. For example, Job 42, verse 10 says that God turned Job's captivity. I love that. That means when Job was sick, he was in captivity to the devil. Notice the difference. When he was in poverty, he was in captivity to the devil. So God turned Job's captivity and gave him twice as much as he had had to begin with. Praise God. And another thing I want to mention here is Job lived 140 years after he got healed. Now that's God's work, friend. Praise God. You know, someone might say, well, you know, what about Paul's thorn? And we're just talking about this session, this first podcast in our healing school. I don't have a lot of time tonight to break down Paul's thorn, but let me just tell you something. Where did you ever read in the Bible that a thorn in the flesh is sickness? Nowhere do I read that. You know, go right back to the scriptures and you can find out how that term is actually used. In the Old Testament, God said to Israel, if you don't kill those Canaanites when you possess the land, they will be thorns in your side. They will torment you. And, you know, a lot of times when God is using the terms thorn in the flesh or thorns in your side, they are correlated the same. You can read about this in Numbers 33:55, Joshua 23:13, and Judges 2, verse 3. Paul tells us exactly what the thorn was. He actually uses the terminology, the messenger of Satan sent to buffet him. Every scholar that I've ever studied, and I don't have time to get into it tonight, we'll get into it deeper later, but every scholar believes this the same, that Paul was actually referring to persecution when he talks about the thorn of the flesh, not sickness and disease. You know, God has always been opposed to sickness. He's never been in favor of, and even in the Old Testament, he always made provision for his covenant people to be healed. You know, if sickness was his will, he wouldn't have made that provision. When Israel crossed the Red Sea and started toward their homeland, this is what the Lord said in Exodus 15, verse 26. If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put, now the literal Hebrew means, I will permit none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought or permitted upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. Notice, it isn't the Lord who made them sick. He said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. God didn't put diseases upon Israel nor upon the Egyptians. It is Satan, the god of this world, who makes man sick. Jehovah declares that he is Israel's healer. Hallelujah. Just take time and just let that sink in, that God is your healer. He wants to heal your family. He wants to heal the sick in your life and around you. He wants to touch your body and move upon you now and prove to you that he's your healer. Exodus 23, verse 25 and 26, "And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee." Verse 26, "There shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren in thy land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. There shall nothing kill their young." As long as Israel walked in the covenant, listen, there was no sickness among them. There is no record of a premature death, no babies, young people or middle-aged people dying. With sickness taken away from the midst of them, the children of Israel, praise God, lived out their lives without disease. They just fell asleep, praise God. Well, God is the same God now as he was then. The Bible says he doesn't change, praise God. Malachi 3, verse 6. God was against sin in the Old Testament, and he is against sin in the New Testament. He was against sickness in the Old Testament, and he's against sickness in the New Testament. And he made provision for healing in the Old Testament, and he made provision for healing in the New Testament. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 13 says, "And he," speaking of God, "will love thee." Love thee. Love thee. Just say that out loud. "And he," God, "will love thee." But some people must not be reading the same Bible. They read, "And he will put sickness upon you and cause some of you to be stillborn and some of you to die when you're babies and some of you to be sick and crippled all your life." Absolutely not. No, no, no. That's not the Holy Scriptures. Here's the Word of God, friend. Deuteronomy 7, 13 through 15. "And he will love thee, bless thee, and multiply thee. He will also bless the fruit of thy womb, and the fruit of thy land, thy corn, and thy wine, and thine oil, the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep, in the land which he swore unto thy fathers to give thee. Thou shalt be blessed above all people. There shall not be male or female barren among you, or among your cattle. And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and will put or permit none of the evil diseases of Egypt which thou knowest upon thee." Somebody might say, well, Brother Clay, that promise is not for us today. You know, it's just not for us. 1 Corinthians is in the New Testament, isn't it? Well, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11 says, "Now all these things happen unto them," speaking of Israel, "for examples or types. And they are written for our admonition." Glory to God. Amen. That's our example. Praise God. We're going to just conclude this session number one in our healing school. If you would like a free gift, I've got a free gift for you. I've got a just almost like a mock prescription. It's got on the front of it, "God, the great physician. Apply this anointed script to the area of your body that needs healing. Exercise faith." But it's not signed by a regular doctor. This prescription has actually got a signature of Jesus. And on the back of it, what's unique, not only does it have a few scriptures to read, and it's got a place for your name. And if you know someone who's sick, or if you are facing sickness or disease of any type tonight in your own body and you need a miracle, on the very back of this is a daily confession that reads like this. And I just want you right now to just take this podcast, and you can rewind it, you can use it in your own way. And I want you, if you're in need of healing in your body, if you need a miracle, to just make this confession as well with me right now. It simply says this: the Word of God is full of the life of God. That life is saturating my spirit. God's life and healing power is in His Word, and His Word is at work in me now. The Word of God is depositing the life of God and the healing of God into my spirit. That life and health is spreading out of my spirit into every tissue, muscle, fiber, organ, and cell of my body, creating health and soundness. My body has no choice but to respond to the healing in the Word that is being absorbed into me now. Surely He has borne my sickness and diseases and carried my pains. He took my sickness on Himself. He bore them and carried them away to a distance. I refuse to bear what Jesus bore for me. Healing has been granted to me, and with His stripes, His wounds, I am healed and made whole, mind, body, and soul. My diseases went to the cross with Jesus and died with Him there. With God, I know all things are possible. Therefore, I release the kingdom of the living, eternal God upon the impossible. I thank You, Father God, for Your divine intervention and healing grace on my life. I decree today my sickness is gone forever. Glory be to Jesus. Thank You, Father. So what a powerful, powerful confession. You can just rewind this podcast. You can play it over and over and over and just confess that word. Just appropriate it. One of the definitions of appropriate means to violently take it by force. And so I just impart that to you today. And I just release the healing grace of Jesus upon your life, upon your ministry. I just impart the fire and the anointing and just the hurricane and the violent winds that will be stirred up in your life right now. We just release that healing, fervent fire upon your life, upon your home tonight, right now, in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank You, Father, for this session. And now I want to give you our address. If you'll just write to 6800 Wilhelmina Cove, that's spelled WILHELMINACV for Cove. So Wilhelmina Cove, Pine Bluff, Arkansas, 71603 for your free copy. I'm going to send out, and we're going to anoint them. This is not just a point of contact. I literally believe that when Paul sent out handkerchiefs and aprons, that it was not just a point of contact, that the Holy Spirit Himself, the tangible, transferable anointing of God, went into those cloths. It was just exactly what Jesus did when He hosted the presence of the living God, and why that people wanted to touch the hem of His garment. They pressed through the crowd. People wanted to touch Jesus because just like Elisha's bones, you know, when a dead man touched even his bones, that man came back alive. So the anointing can be carried and it can be transferred and it's tangible. And I am just laying my hands personally and anointing every last one of these prescriptions, just a piece of paper, maybe to a certain person, but to you, it is what God wants to use to bring healing to your life. And so you can write today, and we will send you one for free. God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful day, and we'll see you next time. Remember, what are you waiting for? All you have to lose is your sickness. See you next time.